This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
God damn.
Oh, shit, it's 420.
Is it?
Let's get into conversation.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Neither one of us is high.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, it is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. On my right hand side, I got. Nope, Vladimir, come on, yo, is not in the conversation this week. We will see that man soon, but on my left-hand side, I got...
Hell yeah. Got Ali Muhammad in the building. Happy 420, my nigga.
Happy 420. I see you hitting an imaginary joint.
You're hitting the air joint.
Got a little air joint. How's it pulling?
Oh, man, it's sweet.
Man. Happy 420.
To the folks out there.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely some cats that like to light up and listen to this.
Yeah, so. Shout out to Introverted Savage.
Okay, all right.
He lighting up every day.
Oh, there it is.
And be in the conversation.
In the conversation. 420. You celebrating?
Not really. I'm gonna watch the festivity.
Gonna see what's
get a contact through the air as per usual.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying. I ain't the biggest smoker.
Yeah,
nah.
Yeah.
I grew up in a smoker's household though.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying. My grandma used to smoke weed. Every day.
Back when it was reefer. When it was a drug.
Yeah, when it was reefer.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. So you know. Come home after school, it'd be blazed up.
You can smell it.
I mean, outside.
Damn.
So your boys come through, laughing at you and shit.
Uh-huh. Could you tell your grandma, like, how different was your grandmother when she was high than when she wasn't?
I couldn't tell. It was just her thing.
Cook a little bit more?
Nah, man. She just, you know, this was just something she did, so you don't really know.
Just her default.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a Miller High Life, a cigarette burning like an incense. She ain't even smoking a cigarette.
Uh-huh.
And then she's...
She just leave the cigarette to cover up the weed smell?
Nah, she just start out supposed to be smoking. She'll light it up. Uh-huh. I don't know what kind of routine she had to where, you know, she'll light her cigarette.
Right.
She might take a pull, put it in the ashtray, and then she'll start smoking up her little reefer.
Uh-huh.
And then the cigarette have an ash on it, you know what I'm saying, looking like an incense.
Neglected, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying, that was like a day-to-day, so, you know. I wasn't really big on it because I would have a little headache every day when she would do it, so I'd go outside. So I wasn't really big on the weed for myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't smoke weed till later.
Uh-huh.
Later in college.
You
know what I'm saying? What about yourself?
I smoked for the first time probably, I think, like 11th grade, 10th grade, some shit like that. First time I smoked, I didn't get high. Like,
what would you
like,
get?
I just got smoking. I was out. I looked like it was weed. It was
oregano.
Nah, but it didn't hit me. I don't know if I didn't smoke enough, but it just didn't hit me. Had me wondering, like, you know
did
that.
Did you inhale?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm pretty sure I coughed at all of that shit, just one of them. It was one of those highs where you kind of like, yo, what you feeling? You high?
smoking that Babbitt.
Probably some bullshit. It could have been. It could have definitely been some bullshit. I'm not going to lie. That's when these cats used to call bullshit weed chocolate.
Yeah, we had Babbitt. They call it Babbitt.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Smoking that old Babbitt ass weed.
Yeah. That's Reggie before Reggie.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Then I got high for real probably like maybe a few months later, 11th grade. I remember I was at my homeboy's crib. It's weird. I ain't really going to put niggas all the way on blast. But I was at my man, Cat Vaughn's crib, and it was a bunch of cats. Mm-hmm. It was like a circle, and we got high. And I knew we got high because, like, you know, we always be bugging out, telling jokes and, you know, being funny and shit. Mm-hmm. Shit just seemed funnier than ever, right?
Right.
So we going around the room and I'm lighting niggas up, like killing people, and this just laughs. Ah!
Yeah.
I found out a good friend of mine was sick, though. Like, unfortunately, because I was going in on cats. We had the red light going. Like, it was a real deal smoker situation.
Mm-hmm.
I said, one of my homeboys, I don't put them down. I was like, yo, fam, what's up with them spots in your head? Why you, what's going on? What's going on? Who cut you? And he was like, nah, I got lupus. And, oh, man, that high was... It kind of died for about 2 minutes. My high was just a low. He was like, nah, it's all good. We can still have a good time. And then I remember going downstairs because my man lived over a deli, Ray's Deli. So we went downstairs. I was dumb hungry. And I ordered, he used to make these mean little cheeseburgers. And I for whatever reason, I felt like I ordered mad shit because I was hungry. I was like, all right, let me get a cheeseburger. And then immediately I'm like, damn, did I order too much shit because I can't afford this? And fortunately enough, I just had the cheeseburger. And that cheeseburger was bananas. Bananas. It was just a regular-ass deli, regular-ass, you know, chopped cheese cheeseburger that you get anytime else. But that shit... That was seasoned by the gods. That shit was amazing. Then I didn't smoke for a while after that. Like I kind of fell back. Cause back in my day, I'd like to joke that, you know, weed is not even a drug no more.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's medicine.
Medicinal.
It's medicinal. I ain't even no weed spots. You know what I mean?
Dispensaries.
It's dispensaries. It's healing clinics.
No doubt.
You know, there's no stigma. I mean, it's weed spots. Yeah, I see my man over here like, oh, I know a couple spots. There's weed spots. But it's the stigma ain't what it used to be. You know, like I grew up in the DARE era.
Right.
Where users was losers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they really brainwashed the shit out of a lot of cats. And I knew a lot of motherfuckers, especially in high school, that was smoking weed and they got wild dusty and just kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it as like, nah, I can't fall off just yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while. I got out of college till I really got right, like got at it again.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying? And it was a situation.
Shit, first time I smoked was the first time I went to Atlanta.
Oh, where?
Yeah, and my roommate was from Atlanta, so we was, you know, down on the south side. And, and you know, we smoked, and then we was going to the club.
Yeah.
So we went to the club, man, and it was jumping in there. But I was so high. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really know what it was going to be, but I didn't like what it was.
Yeah.
I was like paralyzed. I had all this fly shit.
Oh,
you see, you know what I'm saying? It was all these fine girls in the club, and I had all this fly shit to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had it all. I'm saying all this shit in my head,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't move my mouth to say this shit.
None.
Nigga, I was paralyzed. Like, ow.
Just stuck.
Stuck.
Yeah.
I had to go get in the car and lay down, man. I was like, man, fuck this weed shit.
Yeah. It'll have you fucked up. Like a bad, like, it's not even a bad high. It's just you gotta be comfortable being high.
Yeah,
like you gotta be comfortable being a little out of control a little bit, and, or a little under the influence.
Yeah, and you know what I'm saying? You had to know how you handle shit and how you react to shit. Like, you know, you don't know. You just hit it and you're like,
right.
You trying to smoke the whole joint with everybody.
Yeah.
You gotta know when I'm good.
Yeah, tap out. Know your limit.
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta pass the pass.
Yeah, you gotta keep it moving.
You gotta keep it moving.
Or the fake pull.
Yeah. Then you waste the weed. Niggas
catch
you hitting the fake pull. They be like, oh, man.
I was good with a fake pull. I was good. Fake pull got me through college. I ain't taking it. Take it over there. You know what I mean?
But, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't even fuck with it after that. Then I became the weed man who didn't smoke.
Uh huh.
In college.
That's always good.
But then I wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be the weed man.
No, let me say this. Because that's real talk. I don't feel like most weed men or weed, most the weed motherfucker don't never want to just be the weed motherfucker. they got other shit. Like I got a friend of mine that used to move shit and he had other hopes and ambitions. And he didn't like that box of just being the weed guy. Why didn't you like being the weed man?
First of all, you know what I'm saying? I'm a scholar. I'm in college.
You see that shit? I don't need the judgment.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, I'm in class. I'm busting shit out, nigga. I'm getting A's and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, back then it was a drug.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you become a drug dealer.
Right.
And then, you know, school be ready to expel you and all kind of crazy shit. Right. Over some bullshit. So, you know, you ain't really, you know, I kind of tiptoed in it. You know, me and my homie, you know what I'm saying? His cousin had some pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yo, my cousin got some pounds.
Mm-hmm.
We should get one. I'm like, all right, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We put our little money together and we got a pound.
Damn.
And then, so we went back, you know what I'm saying?
In the game.
Went back to school with it. And shit, it was cracking. But I ain't do no advertising.
How'd you get the word out? You was a reluctant weed
I was
man.
Reluctant than a motherfucker.
You got weed? I don't know. Who asked?
Nah. It was like when you in the situation and you know, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm the weed man when it's weed smokers around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like weed smokers, they don't do a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? They don't like to go a lot of places where you can't smoke weed.
Right.
So you usually find weed smokers where the weed smokers at.
Mm-hmm.
So in that environment,
yeah,
I'm good. That's easy. You know what I'm saying? Let's get the money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but if you just on campus and chilling, you're like, yo, you got it.
Yeah.
Like, chill.
Yeah. It's too hot right now. got me looking crazy.
Man, watch out now. But, you know.
He make nigga feel bad about himself. He went to the weed. Hey, you got weed? Boy, if you don't get the fuck out of here with that
bullshit. Don't you see me talking to this girl?
Oh, man.
But you know what I'm saying? The crazy part about being the weed man in college was that you get to meet all these people.
Right.
In every set.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You welcome everywhere.
Because you realize, damn near everybody, it's not just a certain type of motherfucker.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's respectable people. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's dusty cats.
It's teachers.
Teachers.
Doctors.
You know what I'm saying? All kind of people. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? You get to meet all these people and they welcome you. Hey, come on in, man, shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You made some money.
Uh-huh.
You got a plate of food or some shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You met some people. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, so they were welcome. You were welcome.
That's how it is. When you know, a lot of times, at least in that era, I don't know how it is nowadays, but they were welcome to weed, man. Like, hey, man, stay a while. We might want to buy some more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They want to introduce you to everybody there. Like, hey, man, you got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you were still part of the culture.
Right.
You were part of the scene.
Right.
It wasn't like you were just the, because then now there's the dedicated weed man, like the guy that's like
my guy.
Yeah, my guy. He's gonna drop off.
Right.
He's gonna have some stuff, and then he's going back on his route.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you was like the cat that was at the party, and you also got weed too.
Exactly.
That's different. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it was one time, man. When I fully embraced it. Uh-huh. We went to Tuskegee Homecoming.
Right.
And, you know, we got there earlier in the day, kicked it. And then it was like, yo, it's a little house party going on over here, man. Yeah. We rolling over here. So we rolled to the house party. And then I met this one cat, Damon.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, yo, y'all smoke?
Uh-huh.
I was like, you smoke?
Uh-huh.
He was like, yeah. So I'm about to get some shit. I was like, well, shit, I got some shit.
Uh-huh.
He was like, what?
Don't look any further.
No doubt.
Shout out to Dennis Edwards.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he cop, and he was like, oh, this shit good.
Yeah.
Man, that motherfucker introduced us to seemed like every weed smoker in Tuskegee at this one motherfucker party. We made all the money.
Wow.
And continued on our way. Like, man, this was a great little trip.
That's crazy.
Had fun, met all of the pretty girls. It was a good time.
That's what's up. I remember, that's good, because you were successful. I had experience selling weed for a hot second, and I was not successful at all. First of all, we didn't have a pound. We didn't have pound money. We went in on, we went half, me and my man D went half on a half ounce. That's how we was doing it. We went half with a half ounce. I remember it being the shit. I remember we had some like some blue little bag, like the blue glassine bags, like they had some blue joints that had just come out. It wasn't like just the regular, you know what I'm saying, some blue 12 bag, whatever, blue joints.
You had the marketing and promotion.
You had the marketing, because I'm always about a good marketing. I was like, well, we gonna kill them. Our shit look different. And I remember I think we might have been listening to the Cuban Links or some shit breaking it down. Like, now my man, he had done shit like this before. It wasn't nothing new there, but this shit was exciting to me. It was right. Like, oh, I'm in the game. You know what I mean? We breaking these shits down. Trying, my shits look official. The bags look great. But I gotta, you know, I'm hiding it because I don't want nobody to know.
Right.
And then the thing was, unless you was moving in school, there was certain places that drugs were sold. Mm-hmm. Like dedicated areas, like corners dedicated.
Right.
Like if you on that
the
corner.
Spot.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. right. If you there, you either copping or you set. Like there's no real reason for you to be like, it's understood. This is what's going on.
This is the store.
Yeah, yeah. If you there for longer than 20 minutes, like what the fuck? He ain't in the game. You know what I mean? Or you know.
You tried to go down there?
Yeah, was shit. I tried to go down there for a sec, but I didn't like
the clientele.
I ain't like the context.
Oh, right.
Because it was a different, like you said, you seen yourself as a scholar.
Right.
I seen myself as a scholar too, as a good man. This young boy's gonna make it. He's going to college, you know, shit like that. But you down here with the motherfuckers moving that shit.
Right.
So people walking around, you know, what you doing out here? You know, I'm just out here, you know, kicking it.
Just chilling.
But I'm just leaving shit in my pockets. I'm sitting on the bag. I got the bags in my back pocket. By the time I finally started moving them, they was like shake bags. And I remember one cat coming back like, yo, B, what's the thing? It was kind of, it was like, he didn't give me the proper, you know, because I followed up. I was like, what you think? He was like, you know, it was like a little shaky. I didn't even know that was a bad thing. I was like, what that was that the high was shaky? Was that good? You know what I mean? He was like, nah, you know, you just, it ain't had no buds
to like dust.
It looked like dust. This shit looked crazy. How long you had that weed? I said, you know, what the fuck kind of question is that? Did you enjoy it?
That dirt weed.
And I was probably selling dirt weed because I'll be honest with you, I didn't really get into like, I didn't really experience like good weed until I had like a white friend. Like, I'm not going to lie, white people kind of, they, when it comes to drugs, there's a different level of, especially when it came to weed, it was a different level of quality. I remember the term back then was kind bud. That was the term back then, because like, and it was a different, it was not, we're not smoking chocolate no more.
Right.
We smoking shit that got names to it, you know what I mean? That's got a little bit of like origin. It's got an origin story, like a fucking comic book super villain.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? Oh, this is spliced with this, and this comes from that. And, you know what I mean? Then it was delivery situations. You know, it was a little bit more expensive.
Right.
You know, it was a whole different situation. But yeah, man. I mean, and then also I would get super fucking paranoid.
What selling it?
No. I didn't. Yeah, I only sold that shit for like maybe a month or two. That shit, and I didn't make all my money because I sat on the bags, and then I was just like, the bags started looking real, like they looked terrible. After a while, it wasn't meant for the market. After a while, so I wound up just giving that shit away to somebody, like some people, like, yo, you know, I might have got bought out for like way cheaper or whatever the fuck. I stopped fucking with it because I didn't want to be known as the weed guy.
But see, that's how I ended up coming up is that. I had one of my boys, he was the weed smoker, but he was also the weed man.
Right.
But
that's typically how it happens.
But he ended up in a situation where he ain't had to re-up money because, you know.
Right, because he smoked.
Smoked most of the, you know what I'm saying, weed. So he was like, you know what, man, listen. Sell your stuff out of with my clientele, you know what I'm saying, and shit, just keep it going like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll take over your business.
Basically, he let me into his business. He let me into all his clientele, and we worked it like that.
Mm.
And so he was already the weed guy, so it was no stigma attached for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was no change.
Right.
All the only thing happened was, shit, I could just show up with the packet. Hey, I'm going to call the guy. He's going to come through.
So it was dispatch.
So now I could come through, you know what I'm saying, and bang, bang, and then be out or chill out. You know what I'm saying? He one time he called and it was some of the baddest girls on campus. You know what I'm saying? And I had never really sold to no girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So my only reference for girls smoking weed was my grandma, my cousins, a couple aunties.
Okay,
but
it's a lot of references. But, it got longer and longer. I never knew none of my peers.
I never knew any, you know what I'm saying? So when they came through, I'm like, oh shit.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And then I was fresh that day too. I had on, you know what I'm saying, a brand new Tommy Hilfiger get up.
Uh-huh.
So I was feeling good about myself. I'm like, oh shit.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to get at you any old way.
And she had hit you about the tree?
He hit me to tell me to come through. He had some people. Uh-huh. And when I got there, it was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like a little crew of them. So it was like three of them there. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then so I went back to I was like, y'all follow me back to the spot, you know what I'm saying? We'll make it happen. Got there, bang, bang, bang. And then the one girl, she rode the prettiest joint I had ever seen rode in the history of life. I'm like, God damn, how you do that?
What was so pretty about it? Talk about it.
Nah, this shit was just perfect. Yeah. Like, first of all, you know, after knowing her afterwards, you know what I'm saying, later in life, she's a designer, so she's like immaculate with style.
Right, right.
All of the girls in her crew was so fly because she did all that, everybody hair.
Okay.
And she had everybody fresh with all that Atlanta style.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway, she just had the shit. It was just perfectly.
She rolled doobies and did doobies.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Okay.
That shit was just perfectly aligned. Uh-huh. No fat spots.
No pregnant.
No, one pregnant, one all twisted at the tip. Yeah. That shit was like a cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit.
Sophisticated looking.
Like, this shit is all the motherfucking change.
She's talented.
Talented.
So go ahead.
Nah, but that was pretty much, you know what I mean?
Oh, all right.
That was the story. I just wanted to reenact, you know what I'm saying, a fly night in weed sales.
Okay. That's what's up. Chris, what's your experience with the tree? Where you at with it?
I was thinking about it while you guys were talking about it. I probably smoked for the first time when I was 20, I guess. I'd played baseball growing up and like
you an athlete. And,
yeah, so it just didn't seem like something that I was, you know, I was like, oh no, it's no good for me. Same thing, D.A.R.E. program, all that shit. So,
it used to be a stigma. It used to be, no. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing I was going to say about the D.A.R.E. program. Like, they're doing a disservice to kids with that shit anyway, because then if you do smoke, you're like, oh, it's not bad. This is actually good. Like, everybody's having fun. Like, they're lying. It's not going to kill you, you know?
That's what they always say.
Right.
Yeah.
They say that about heroin, too.
Yeah, well, heroin you might want to watch out for. But anyway, yeah, I started smoking probably when I was like 20. I smoke, you know, once in a while now, but I used to be like into it. Me and my friends used to smoke a lot.
You celebrating 420?
Yeah, I'll see how the day goes tomorrow.
The day goes? Yeah. I hear that. All right, now let me ask you, where do you stand on edibles?
Wow. They got to be careful with them edibles.
Yeah.
I think you might have gave me my first edible.
That was years ago.
and I was bugging the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, man, what is going on?
That was a good batch.
Can't feel my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was paralyzed again.
Yeah, that shit was. Because
you don't know when that shit coming. You don't know how much. You don't know how it's going to hit.
You don't know how long you're going to be high. That's what kills me. It's like, well, how long is this shit going to continue?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, like I say, I haven't had that much. You think when you went to Denver, you brought back some cookies or some shit like that?
Yeah, did I hit you with one?
Yeah. But you know, I did that shit in pieces.
Yeah, which was smart. Well, this is the thing in Denver, because it's recreational, right? But then it's there's the medicinal if you're like a Colorado local or native or whatever. If you're a resident, you could get the medicinal shit. So as far as edibles go, the milligrams are less on the recreational, but I got my homie out there. Shout out my man Caesar. Though he be out there, he
dry snitching all over the spot.
Listen, these niggas is public as shit.
I know. Like back in the day, chill,
my mans and them. Now everybody, niggas turned from weed heads to activists.
You know what I'm saying?
They're like, you know, cannabis ambassador.
Informers.
Exactly. But he dropped in and got me some shit because he had his real card. So he got me some cookie and it looked like a very benign sugar cookie. And that shit was fucking intense, dog. I had about 60 milligrams. That shit, fuck, wow. It was a lot. It was a little much.
What was your best experience in weed?
I don't know. That's a hard question. My best experience. I know you got a good best experience.
I mean, that was just my best experience.
The I don't know, my best experience. I mean, I've been out to Amsterdam a couple times. I had fun. The first time I went out to Amsterdam, it just felt like that was when I started seeing it differently.
Right.
Because it was presented in a different light. The culture about it was way different. You up in a, like the whole shit blew my mind. You go there, they got the shit on the menu. They showing you the buds. You chilling in a coffee shop. You could roll your shit right there in the thing. Get you a cup of coffee or something. Some type of like Danish or some shit. Mm-hmm. And you just blow your trees.
No doubt.
And just live life. and enjoy the moment, you know. But at the same time, I was out there with my squad one time, second time we went out there, and we must have hit a strain that was just a little too intense, and nigga, I was done. I was that was a funny time. It was like, yo, you good? Yeah, I'm fine. I don't want no more of that shit.
Eyes right? Big as quarters.
Scared the shit. Like, oh man, I'm thinking I'm about to have a heart attack. One of them highs.
I'm high.
Yeah. But yeah.
Nah, that's what's up.
Happy 420.
Happy 420.
420.
You know what I'm saying? Enjoy.
Yeah. Be responsible.
No doubt.
You know.
What else is good?
What else is going on in the world, man?
I'm fresh off of my daughter's 8th birthday party.
Oh, right. You were talking about it prior last week, saying you didn't have something, well, you had just come from, didn't you come from your niece's 16 that was like bananas? Well, look, I'm not competing with that.
Nah, but that's with my son's 16th birthday next month.
Okay,
so,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? He all got his ideas. He don't want no party, but he got grand ideas.
Okay.
But nah, this was my daughter's 8th birthday party. It was like her first party that we threw for her, like a big,
big deal.
You know, invite people from your class and shit like that.
Right.
So we have 15 girls at the house,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying, with my wife, you know, did a tea party.
Okay.
You know, she orchestrated a tea party and decorated with the nice little things and made some decorations and shit. But she spent most of the time cooking the hors d'oeuvres and the food and stuff.
Which I had.
So I had to manage the damn tea party.
Oh, you had to be the...
So
yeah.
I ain't know how to manage no damn tea party.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to expect at a tea party outside of tea.
Exactly.
Like what? How you keep a tea party moving?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, drink more tea. What? What y'all looking at me for? I don't know what to do.
Fuck with that Earl Grey. That Earl Grey is the shit. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? So.
So they liked it. It was very fancy.
Nah, they had fun. Yeah, it was. You know, they was.
They dressed up for the tea party.
Yeah,
and all
they dressed up. Everybody wore their dress. Because my daughter is kind of fancy herself. Like,
right.
Like she's a self-taught. You know, fashionista type of person.
Okay.
So she liked to wear dresses and she liked to, you know what I'm saying? She liked to do real girly type of
stuff.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of kids, they not all the way into that at 8 years old.
Right.
So most of the kids, you know, they got on, you know, little tights and, you
right.
You know what I'm saying? Just running around. So she, you know, the invite was, you know, dress up.
She was regal.
Yeah. So she, you know, since she did a thing, but most of the girls, all of the girls except for one came with their dresses on.
Uh-oh.
And, you know what I'm saying? And then my wife bought a bunch of hats where everybody put on their hat and did the tea thing.
That's
shit.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's what's up. I've always wondered, like, how did, like, the tea party thing become, like, a little girl thing? Like, you see that in the, I always see that, like, on Instagram or, like, little, like television and shit like that, especially oftentimes when like the father has the daughter, it's always the father having tea with his daughter, and that's like the father thirst trap. You know what I mean? I see that shit, especially if it's a single dad. I'm just sitting here with my lady.
I'm just sitting here with my abs.
With my queen.
my gun. With my guns popping through my shirt.
Exactly. Having tea.
You know
when
saying?
Did that, like, how did that?
I think, you know what I'm
Queen
saying?
Of England shit?
Yeah, probably. I think the tea time and the tea hour usually takes place in the afternoon where, you know, the ladies get together to, you know, to talk over tea. That's why that shit is the tea. That's where the gossip and all that happens.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Over afternoon tea.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess it was more of a, you know what I'm saying, a lady thing to tea.
Do the knowledge. To,
you know what I'm saying? Teeing as a verb. You know what I'm saying? So. I think that's where I don't know. So if you know, let me know.
Yeah, let
I'm
us
just
know.
I'm just speculating.
Give Ali the tea.
You know what I'm saying? Drop the tea.
Let us know what strains you fucking with too for 420. We ain't asked you that, so but hit us.
The strains, yes.
What strains you fucking with today? If you're doing anything, you know, or if you're indulging in the edible, or whatever.
Yeah, post your 420. You know what I'm saying? Extravaganza,
highlights, and all, you know what that. I'm saying? Yeah.
Show your role.
Yeah. Speaking of role, we're gonna do a mid roll right here.
Oh shit!
Sponsor time.
Getting that Monday.
Wix.com. A great business needs a stunning website. Did you know that? Stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself.
Do it.
Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online no matter what type of business you're in.
No matter what.
You know what I mean? If you're an enterprise. Well, no, we're not going to do that with the Wix. But you know, if you're getting any type of money, Wix.com can help you. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do.
Do it.
Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free. Tell them In the Conversation sent you.
Hi, this is Kate.
And Joe.
Of Invasion of Privacy Podcast. Check out our podcast if you want your tits to be blown off by unicorns and aliens.
Oh my God.
We talk about sex. We will just change you magically.
We also talk about normal things that are funny.
Find new and archived episodes of Invasion of Privacy on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
So what else is going on, man? You heard Conor McGregor retired?
That's your boy.
That ain't my boy. I just know about him. For y'all that don't know, because you know what's so funny, man? The UFC now is like, I'm the old guard that with the UFC is still unfamiliar. Like, I don't know all this stuff, but the UFC's grown in popularity to a lot of motherfuckers know who Conor McGregor is.
Right, you know what I mean?
I saw him at this, first time I ever seen Conor McGregor, there was like this whole press conference with like, I guess like 15, 16 UFC fighters. And it was like an upfront with all of the fighters or whatever. It was just a big press thing, so you could kind of see them all. Mm-hmm. And Conor McGregor was like this Irish dude just talking wild shit. Just wild shit. He's not particularly like a big dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? Kind of like average size dude.
Oh, I think I've seen him fight before.
Yeah, well,
The Irish dude.
Yeah,
I've seen him fight.
Wasn't he undefeated until just recently?
He wasn't undefeated, but he was undefeated in the UFC. But he fights at 100. He's the 145-pound
right.
champion. So he weighs probably about 168 pounds. Something like
old Mayweather type of... Okay, yeah. Like a, you know, so... But he would talk wild shit. And he was like, he was, outside of maybe Ronda Rousey, like, he's the personality. Like, he's, you know, he's a heel, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved up in weight. I think he fought this guy, Nate Diaz, who weighs about, what, 175?
Yeah, I mean, Diaz is comfortable between 155, 170 pounds, but he probably walks around about 175, yeah, 180, let's say.
And they fought, but the thing was, this was a last-minute thing, right? Because he wasn't supposed to fight outside his weight class, but what happened?
McGregor's the 145-pound champion. He was supposed to move up to 155 pounds to face this guy, Rafael Dos Anjos.
Uh-huh.
Dos Anjos got hurt. Nate Diaz jumped in, and then they both agreed to do the fight at 170 pounds because it would be too hard for Nate Diaz to cut weight in like 11 days.
They thought that it would be easier for Conor to go up to 170?
Well, because Conor weighed in at like 168 pounds, I think, at the time. So he would have had to cut down to 155. Uh-huh. He was already close to a buck 70.
Was overweight, though. He was sloppy with it.
Well, no. I mean, they do that like a week out, you know, 3-4 days out. They start cutting weight down to whatever they're supposed to be at the weight class. But they all carry more weight than they're supposed to be fighting at.
But then he got that ass whipped by Nate Diaz because Nate Diaz was a lot, you know, he was skilled at that.
That's his real size.
That's his real size.
His real class.
And he put it to him. That was his first defeat, UFC, right?
His first UFC defeat.
So it got his first UFC defeat. So today, he said, that's enough for me. Conor McGregor says he retired. He retired young.
For this shit.
Now, it's a lot of cats retiring young. See, now, I'm not even mad at the cat retiring young, especially in boxing and fighting the UFC, where you getting your ass beat. You know what I'm saying? If you get a few dollars and you, to get some more, after you done made a couple $1 million, you still got to go out there and get your ass beat.
Right.
I'm not mad at you saying, you know what? Fuck that. I'm done. You know what I mean? But I'm noticing a lot of retirement, like a lot of young retirees like Marshawn Lynch retiring young. What's my man with Calvin?
But he came back though.
Did he come back?
Yeah, he's doing another season.
Oh, they must have hit that man with that number.
Yeah.
Okay, that number.
That's a too short retirement. You know he from the Oak.
Yeah,
town.
So you think it was might have been a leverage tool?
I'm out this bitch. Hey, wait, don't be so hasty.
Let's talk. What you think about the early retirement
thing? I mean, it's all about, you know what I'm saying, doing what's best, man. Shit. Sometimes it's cool to slide out on top. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Slide out when you contract right and you know what I'm saying? And the rest of your life is together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you go live it. You don't want to slide out after they done wore you all the way out.
Like, look at Kobe.
You know what I'm saying? This is Kobe looking like a mummy on the sideline after every game. They icing his whole body up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, Kobe, he still wasn't bad, but, you know, you don't want to go out at the end of your motherfucking health.
You don't want to be asked to leave.
Right.
You know what I mean? You still want to be able to be like, you know what? I decide that it's over.
You don't want
to
go out with the concussion and then, you know what I'm saying, go home and want to beat your wife or something, you know?
Yeah.
Shit, man.
That went dark.
Yeah, but that's how it be. You get your head beat in and shit. You know, you be doing all kind of wild shit.
Yeah.
So, if you could retire early, I'm a fan of it.
I'm not mad at retiring early at all.
In any goddamn profession.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
But what are you going to do?
You're going to do just life shit.
Like what? What are you going to do?
That just means you're not doing that career no more.
Your first, how long do you think you could be retired before you start getting?
I ain't going to never be retired. I'm going to tell y'all that right now.
Oh, we'll see that.
No, I might retire from a section of some sort of career or business. I might retire from video shit, but I'm not going to fucking retire and not do shit.
So you're not going to retire, really?
Nah. Even when I'm getting it, I'm going to have some type of business to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you stop doing shit, man, you just start dying.
Yeah, but you just said you got all of this shit to do. That's what I'm saying. You don't really have much to do if you truly retire.
Right.
If you say, I'm done with this. Like, Kobe defines his life. Well, not. I don't want to say he's going into making docs and shit like that.
Yeah, he's going to be doing some shit. You gotta Kobe going to be on TV with that good voice.
I got family members that have just retired recently. And what I've noticed is when you retire, it seems like it becomes everyone else's job to find you a new job. Because they realize, oh, you got a lot of fucking free time. You know what you could do? And then now they start to program your own schedule.
Right.
Which is interesting.
And some people, you don't be on with that. Some people just want to do nothing. Just chill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I could just chill at this point.
So. Yeah.
At this point, you know what I'm saying? I might get to a point where I'm like, shit, you know what? I done did. Right? Fuck it. Fuck this shit.
Yeah. I think you got to accomplish quite a bit before you say, all right, this is enough. You know what I mean? It can't be any carrots out there that you feel like you know, I couldn't retire knowing that I didn't go for, you know, there's some shit still on the list. Right. I'm like,
because, you know what I'm saying? Life is about, like, at this point I've set my life up. Like, I do shit that I like to do. I do shit I want to do. I see something I want to do. If I feel like I could try it, I'm gonna try that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I go to work and then I'm like, can't wait to Friday. Can't wait till I fucking retire.
Cause you love what you do.
You know what I'm saying? I don't love what I do every day, but you know what I'm saying? I set myself up to where I could pursue shit that I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel no kind of way about it. So it don't feel like how it felt when you had to go to work and be there and, you know what I'm saying, be at their mercy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to Quincy Jones my shit, man. I'm trying to be working, be old, be just relevant.
Yeah.
Doing shit.
You're not retired, you're just relevant.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. That's what my pops told me. Shit, I ain't old if I'm relevant.
That's real talk.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how I feel about it. So if you retire young, I'm sure he got shit he gonna do, and one dude might support his homeboy business or something.
Well, this is the speculation report, but from what we were just talking about this, I was telling Chris about this because this kind of blew Chris away. This was big news, and if you like a UFC fan, like he's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a UFC fighter, but there's an Irish guy who just got killed in the ring.
Oh, Lord.
And, you know, somebody he knew.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that makes
sense. Yeah, you might want to tap on that. All right, I'm good. I got,
I double checked that. He's Portuguese, the guy that died, but it was in Ireland, and Conor was at the fight.
Oh.
And so he posted a whole, Conor McGregor posted like a thing about how it's sad and everything. And that was last week, so you got to figure factors in. You
know? So he'd probably be out the ring for 2 months and be like, you know what, man?
That wouldn't happen to me.
Man, I'm itching to beat a motherfucker ass. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker can't whoop me. Then somebody
I ain't killed nobody.
Somebody going to call him out. Fucking Conor McGregor, come get some.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, what? What'd that motherfucker say?
That's like, what's my man Bronner calling out Floyd Mayweather. You seen that shit?
Like Floyd, like, come on.
Come on,
bro.
Yeah.
You know, that should be about day check.
Exactly.
Like, come on, Floyd, come give me that check.
Yeah, I need this.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, retire young if you can, man. Get to life.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just don't do nothing.
Yeah. When the last time you just did nothing, though? Do you have a problem with just doing nothing? Like, even on the weekend, can you just do nothing?
If I've been burning through, if I've been burning through and it's, you know what I'm saying, been a couple weeks, you just burning through, shit, at a certain point, your body going to just say, hey, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to lay it down. I don't know about you.
Fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to sleep.
So then you crash, like on Goody Mob, say, you know, seventh day, sleep like mummies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you crash and then, you know, then you get back up. And get...
It's tough. It's tough for me to just sleep all day. I can do it when it's like if I have to crash.
Yeah.
Because the way I grew up, like my peoples, they work early. So it was like when they call you, if you got any type of grogginess in your voice, you sleeping? Like it was like a judgment on you. Like you ain't doing nothing with your life. You sleeping? Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm up.
Good,
what you talking about?
Shit.
Hear
that phone ring, you spring up to a 90-degree angle.
Hey, what's going on? You can put on some radio voice. Hey, this is D-Lemon in the morning. How you doing?
You got to take that gasp of ass.
Yeah. Get all the frog.
Man.
Hello?
Man, shit. I remember there was one point in life where shit wasn't going right.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? And when you sleep, when you finally do go to sleep, you being like a hard ass sleep, mm-hmm. having nightmares and shit. Motherfuckers chasing you, trying to shoot you. You know what I'm saying? And it always be on cue. It always be on cue. I had a cousin, he was in jail at the time, T Mac. And he'll call on cue, dog.
Yeah.
I'd be in one of them old crazy ass states, sleep apnea ass states.
Mm-hmm.
And then the phone will ring, you just like ring, it sound loud as hell, and you jump up.
And then, yeah.
This is a call from a correctional facility.
Hilarious.
And then first thing you be like,
you ain't sleeping.
He's like, man, you out there bullshitting, man. You bullshitting, man. Did you? You know, he actually get the update on some shit you was supposed to do. Man, you bullshitting, man. And then he hit me with a line, dog, that I ain't never forget, man. It was simple as fuck. He was like, man, you free.
Mm.
I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Damn. How about that? Well, let me go back to sleep.
Ain't no motherfucking excuse. Nah, you can't go to sleep after that shit.
Shit.
He be like, shit, damn, I'm free. And I ain't fucking taking advantage of the shit. Let me fucking go ahead and take advantage of that shit.
Yeah.
Because
sometimes you need to get some sleep. Fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, what's up with all of this pride around not sleeping?
No, it wasn't.
Shit?
The whole conversation wasn't about not sleeping.
No, I know.
It was about not accomplishing shit.
No, I dig it. It was a deeper moment. You said there was a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. So it wasn't about the sleep. That shit was about the moment in life.
Yeah, you got to use your life.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got up. I ain't go back to sleep like that ever.
Are you living life or you just waiting to die?
You know what I'm saying? Or you dying in the process?
Well, we all dying in the process.
You know what I'm saying?
But so you can live while you're dying. You know what I mean? Don't just sit around and wait to die. That's whack.
A lot of people do that, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Get your ass up!
Sorry. Your punk ass up.
Ah, shit, man. What else is going on? Trump out there playing himself. Good for him. Oh, it's yesterday there was the primaries in New York. Did you get your chance to...
Yeah. Okay. I was about to say that's the day.
I'm
blow the whole.
It is what it is. They know.
Y'all know we record on Tuesday.
Yeah,
it come out on Wednesday.
Exactly.
Happy hump day.
There it is.
But we got out there.
Yeah.
That was a responsible day today, man. I did a lot of responsible shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you do?
Wash dishes.
Okay.
Like a thorough line. Not just your get them out the sink. Mm-hmm. I went in, got the whole shit done, clean, deep.
What you mean, the whole shit, like shit out the cabinet?
Nah, just deep clean, you know what I'm saying? Scrubbed the sink to the sparkly white, you know okay. what I'm saying? Wiped all of the counters and, you
the
know what I'm saying?
The whole area.
Went all the way in, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, deep clean, like how you, when you bring the people there.
Right. Host. You know what I'm saying? You hosting.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Just like, let me get some responsible shit done today.
All right, so what
you
else?
Know what I'm saying? Then went to vote.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Then I usually... Before I come here, I do pick up both the kids, and then I shoot here. Mm-hmm. Drop them off home, and then shoot here. But this time, you know what I'm saying? I bake some chicken, put some chicken in the oven. So, like, I usually be rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Pick them up. Oh, shit, what we gonna eat? Then I had to go do a little quick. You know what I'm saying?
Bullshit. You baked the chicken and jumped in the car and picked them up with the chicken bacon?
I preheated the shit. Put the chicken in, uh-huh. and then I went to go do the pickup. Because uh-huh. it wouldn't have been no, you know how chicken take a little while to cook. And I wouldn't have had time to finish it if I would have, you know what I'm saying? So I just put it in. I thought about it. But I felt pretty confident.
Okay.
I felt pretty confident in my facilities.
Won't burn down that freshly cleaned ass kitchen.
You know what I'm saying? I felt pretty confident in the facilities. My pan didn't have no spillover or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Does it give you a little bit more thrill to the day when you know you got some shit cooking? You know this?
Nah, man. You just hope you don't hit nothing and be in,
fucked up.
No situation where you can't get back home.
Yeah.
But yeah, it came out though. I risked it.
That's what's up.
But it came out, so everybody got home and was happy.
That's what's up. Good shit. Oh, responsible.
Yeah, it was a responsible day.
I voted. That was about the responsibility. That was my most responsible. I went out to vote. It wasn't that many people. It was a little anticlimactic. I was just talking to Chris about this shit, because mm-hmm. when I got to the spot, it wasn't like maybe this is for the general election, but it wasn't the lever piece. It wasn't the shoom shoom.
Oh yeah,
we had the little Scantron.
Yeah, they been got rid of that in my spot.
So is that? I guess that's a result of the whole Bush Gore situation.
No, I just think they were moving towards an electronic joint anyway. You know what I'm saying? So
this shit that we went to,
even the first Obama joint had some levers and then some electric joints, and I was skeptical then, like, hold up now.
I need a level.
What the fuck's with this electric shit?
Yeah, I wanted to feel like I wanted to feel like something. This is the vote, right? I wanted to feel like not just the fucking Scantron test.
Right.
Like, I just...
Number two pencil.
And then put it in an old-looking printer to scan in. And nobody at the spot, no one was under 67 working. So nobody really felt that invested. Then, I'm going to keep it funky. I kind of thought I was going to get an I voted sticker for the gram or some shit. I asked the lady, I said, you got stickers? She looked at me like, stickers?
Fuck out of here.
Fuck on out of here. Old ass nigga asking for a sticker. I was like, shit.
But you want a gold star too?
You know? But, yeah, I got that done. Yeah, so I felt good.
It's a weird election cycle anyway. You know what I'm saying? It don't have the hype like, you know, when it was Obama.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? You got, you know. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Trump. He was referencing 9/11 in a speech, but he mistakenly called that shit 7/11.
That's terrible.
I like when Trump fuck up though.
He's a New Yorker. That's terrible.
It's horrible. And it was an uninterrupted fuck up. It wasn't even like 7/11 in it, like a couple minutes. He's like, oh shit, you know what? 9/11, my bad. You know what I mean? He just kept it moving.
Trump,
he ain't even know.
First than just rolling with the fuck up. He's like, you know, he'll accept it.
I don't think he knew he fucked up till he got off the stage.
And now that he knows, he'll go back and accept it.
Of course. Yeah, he's good for that. Is he good for that? He's good for justifying his fuck up often than not. You know what I mean?
But it might, like you say, he might have a stake in 7-Eleven. You know? He might be giving it a plug.
Exactly. Just in case this shit don't work out, I got these 7-Elevens on deck.
They on fire right now. You know, tomorrow is bring your own cup day.
Oh, shit.
That's your shit, ain't it? Don't you fuck with the celebrity donut?
Nah, I said I was going to try it. I ain't
get to it?
Nah, and I was actually near 7-Eleven recently. I'm not rushing out to fuck with it, you know, because it is, you know, it's the bullshit. I was just more curious to see what it would taste like, you know. I'll see what happens. You know what I mean?
Hey, go for it, man. Own that shit, man.
Nah, I'm gonna get to it. I'm not tearing down this. It's not that high on the list. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I didn't even think about the slippery donut when I saw the 7-Eleven. Like it ain't nothing that I'm like, oh boy, I can't wait. Speaking of bullshit though, this is bullshit on the low. I don't know if you noticed this. They opened up yet another Chick-fil-A.
Oh, where?
On the low. They 10 blocks away from the first one.
Well, in the original plan, it's supposed to be 100 and something in the state.
Oh, okay.
In the New York metro area. Yeah, the original plan stated it was supposed to be a bunch of them shits.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So they dropped another one?
Yeah, they dropped another one 10 blocks away. Still a line. Because I'm in the cab. I'm driving up. We going up. I'm talking to somebody. I'm like, yo, look at this shit. Still a line outside the Chick-fil-A.
Man.
On 37th and 6th. And we drive about 10 blocks. I see another Chick-fil-A. Oh, shit. They got with a fucking line outside of that shit. I'm like, damn.
Damn. They right, man.
And thirsty.
They say shit, you know. That's thirsty. Manhattan is the new Queens and shit.
I still don't want the
suburbanizing the city. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like chain restaurants wasn't really popping like that in the city like that.
No, it wasn't.
So like, you know, to have like a chain come in and it be the thing.
Booming.
That's weird.
Right.
But to me.
Then I hear you. It's definitely, I don't know if I would call it Queens because I don't think Queens is really known
Suburban. Just suburban. Okay. Suburban, like, you know, Urban Outfitters. And, right. You know what I'm saying?
It's like a mall now.
Yeah, it's just like a mall.
Yeah, it's like a mall. It's been like that for a while. It's crazy. Fucking Chick-fil-A. All right.
What else is going on? You don't fuck with the Chick-fil-A?
I'm not fucking with the line. I'm not standing online. No, like, Chick-fil-A is decent, but it ain't like, this is the thing for, I just feel like, as a New Yorker, the thirst level feels like it's gotten different. Like, it just feels like people would look at that fucking line. And I saw the first time I really saw the thirst level line was the Shake Shack line.
Right.
And it's almost like every other Shake Shack still has a line. And it just feels like somebody that's from New York will be like, I'm good. I'll just go over here. Like, it's not like there's no other options.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is you standing on? Like, but what's happened is it's become like a line culture.
Right.
You know, like when people do these camp outs for sneakers and shit like that, like it becomes like, it's not even really like the sneaker is, that's the byproduct of the experience and that's what we're going for.
Right.
But it's really the whole thing, the party and
the line. In the line. We gramming from the line.
We defending our space in the line. Shit might get wild on the line. You might meet somebody on the line. You got to be fresh on the line.
I was there.
I remember you wasn't there. Right. You know what I mean? We was out there for 3 days. Word? You was out there for three. That shit, you know, but that's a badge of honor for a whole nother generation.
Yeah.
I don't know. What last time you stood on the line for some shit, like a long ass line?
Nigga. I don't know. I avoided lines even as a youth. Even the registration line in college, I wasn't with.
Yeah.
Find a way around that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would damn near almost not get registered just so I'd wait till everyone else got registered. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like the fourth quarter that I'd finally.
Man.
Because them lines was, they defeat your whole. Get the fuck out of here.
I found the loophole and the plug on the registration.
Yeah, that's always a good look.
You know what I'm saying? Because I came to college that I didn't go to the fall semester. I came the spring semester.
Right.
And so when I came in to check into the department, the head of the department, he registered me from his office.
Oh, okay.
He's like, okay, yeah, we just, you know what I'm saying? All right, boo, boo, boo. I'm like, okay, bet. That became the default. He was
right,
the plug.
Right.
Registration time.
Now, but how did you broach it?
So he was cool with it.
He was just cool. Like, don't blow it up.
Nah, he was just like, you know, all right, what you taking this semester? I mean, I'm gonna get the blah blah blah.
Now, this is the real question: did you tell your people about it, or you kept it to yourself?
Hell no. What's wrong with you, man? Hell no.
I walk, not even one homeboy.
I walk past the registration line, dapper cat up. What up?
All right. Go ahead, man. I see you.
And I'd be already registered. Have my schedule in my pocket.
Hilarious. That is the shit.
Yeah, but lines, man. I ain't nobody with that shit. I ain't really. That's the bane of them. existence.
It just, and then you feel silly looking in it. Like I was, the last time I was really like in a line is when the iPhone 6 had come out, right? And I was in San Diego, and my phone, I still believe that when the new iPhones come out, they put some shit in one of them apps to destroy your old iPhones. My shit was getting glitchy as fuck. It was like over. My phone had a stroke. It was not working. And I was like, let me go ahead and get this fucking 6 because it's out. And then the 6 had been out. Like, it hadn't just come out. Like, I can understand, you know, they got that little iPhone line for about a week or a couple days when it first come out. This shit was like 3 weeks after it had come out. But we in San Diego, for whatever reason, they still feel like standing out online for a three-week-old phone. And the line was diesel as shit, but I needed a phone. I felt like such a fucking idiot. Because people would walk up. And they'll judge your line. They'd be like, what you standing online for? Oh, we waiting for the iPhone. Is it a new iPhone? Well, you know, it came out about 3 weeks ago. They waiting online for the old iPhone. They thirsty.
They thirsty.
Thirsty ass.
Anyway. My worst line experience was at a NBA All-Star party when it was in D.C., and it was cold as shit. And I really, you know what I'm saying, I'm from Miami, so I don't know too much about cold survival tactics.
Right.
So, you know, we feel like, boom, we got dropped off right in the front, but it was a long-ass line to get through. And it was cold, and I'm out there, shit, I'm feeling like, okay, boom, we'll just jump out, you know what I'm saying, go in and it'll be good. Man, that wind started blowing on the back of my head. I didn't have on a hat. And for the first time in my life, I was like, yo,
this might not work. I might not make it.
I see how a motherfucker could die. You know what I'm saying? From the cold.
He went from zero to hypothermia.
Nigga, my body was like, yo,
you got about
10 more minutes on this player before I give out.
How long did you stay on that line, though?
Man, we was out there about 20 minutes, man.
What kept you on that line?
We had to get in. Oh, okay. It was the party of the whole fucking shit.
I hear that shit.
What, you gonna not go in?
Nah, I'm just saying.
Then you still in the cold.
You ain't looking crazy.
Once you got invested, you know what I'm saying? We was in the VIP line, but that was long too. So, you know, it was what it was.
The worst though is when you're on them long ass lines and then motherfuckers just cut the shit out the line like the important people.
Right.
So called hold on, make a hole. We gonna get everyone else in, and they just zip motherfuckers. Fuck out of here. Oh, I hate that shit.
See, this particular joint, they had that shit under. I guess the real important people must have went in a whole nother. They must have drove in the back.
Yeah.
Because they had all them iron gates lined all up. It wasn't no cutting. That shit had you barred in like a damn zoo.
That's craziness.
And that's the worst shit, though. A club line is worse than all that shit to me.
Why?
Because once you in the club line, you still might not be guaranteed to get in.
That's
the
worst part.
You know what I'm saying?
You invested and then they shit on you.
You be ready to fight something.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Nah, player. You know,
we ain't doing that tonight.
No denim.
Nah. What? Nah. No sneakers.
I got on dress shoes though. No denim. Then them important motherfuckers come through with shorts on and shit.
Flip flopped out. Shit look crazy.
Shorts and gold chains and shit.
You ain't got no women with you. Now you looking crazy. You ever been on this nigga on the line and you and your homeboy and then you see some women by themselves and you trying to link up? you how about we work together? They like, shit. We don't need your help.
Not tonight.
Now with these vaginas, we getting right in.
Because y'all might fuck up the play.
Exactly.
We trying to get in for free.
Oh, shit, man. Anything else? You want to talk to the people about anything else? You got anything else on the table?
Nah, man, I'm good, man.
You chilling?
Yeah, we got this, Thorough TV is in full production mode.
Okay.
So, you know, that's all we on, man, you know. We just did a photo shoot for the 306 Late.
Okay.
When was that? Sunday night.
Okay.
Did that out there in front of Juniors. Oh. So we ramping up on that.
That's slick.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean?
I got that comedy knockout coming Thursday, April 21st.
Wait, hold on. We got to take that back.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Run that shit.
this Thursday. Wait.
Major announcement alert.
Major key.
You know what I'm saying? Major announcement alert. Run
this,
that shit.
This Thursday, True TV.
What night?
True TV.
On what night?
On Thursday night.
What's the date?
April 21st.
Okay.
10:30 p.m. I think it's right after Impractical Jokers. Comedy Knockout premieres. I need y'all to watch it, man. Check it out.
It's go see great. Your boy.
We excited. Yeah, come on. Support the kid. It's going to be a great episode. And we doing it every Thursday for 10 weeks. You know what I mean? So lock in. You
lock
know?
In, man. Go check that out. Got all of what you call it? You know what I'm saying? The dojo of comedians.
Yeah, we got a little dojo comedians. A lot of roasting. A lot of different styles and you know, different approaches to it. Our first episode, I think we got Chris DeStefano, Sean Patton, and Arden Marine. So that's going to be crazy. And we're going to keep going, man. So check it out.
And you the host, right?
I'm the host. I'm hosting.
This is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I'm saying, right?
You know what I mean? Right. Exactly.
That's good shit.
So please tune in. True TV, April 21st, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, Comedy Knockout. Fuck with it. And Snapchat, you know what? Snapchat yourself watching it. How exactly. about that?
That's what you do.
You know what I mean? If you got anything left over from 420, enjoy that too.
No saying.
There you go.
Word.
But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.